The House of Representatives has so far rejected the Senate's plan to extend the 2% payroll tax cut for the next 2 months. Yesterday, Republicans stopped an attempt by Democrats to force a vote on the issue. Here's Democratic Minority Whip Steny Hoyer objecting when Speaker John Boehner adjourned the House.
The House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. on Friday,
Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for unanimous consent that we bring up the bill to extend the tax cut for 160 million Americans. As you walk off the floor, Mr. Speaker, you're walking out, you're walking away, just as so many Republicans have walked away from middle-class taxpayers.
We will talk this hour about the stalemate, what's at stake, and we'll wonder if you've taken a side on this one. Or if you have any questions. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 22nd. We invited some members of our Republican congressional delegation to join us during this hour, but they declined our invitation. Democratic U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin will join us for a few minutes in our next half hour at about 10 minutes to 8 or so. All hour long, we will welcome your questions and reactions for our guest political analyst at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Stephen Smith, professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Professor Smith, thanks very much for joining us again. Good morning. So your reaction to what happened the very latest yesterday with the House adjourning when Democrats wanted to try to force a vote on this issue?
Well, that's nothing surprising. The House operates under very strict rules, and the majority party controls the process. It's not too surprising that they didn't want the Democrats to get a direct vote on the 2 month plan.
And then Tuesday, the House. They rejected this Senate plan, but they didn't actually vote on it. What was that all about?
Well, that's right. Technically, they didn't reject it. They asked for a conference committee with the Senate to negotiate over the issue. You may recall that earlier in the month, the House passed its version, which was a one-year plan, but with many, many other items in it. The Senate then amended the House bill and sent it back to the House. The House has now just called for a conference committee, and that's where things officially stand. The Democrats aren't happy with that because they wanted the House to actually vote on the Senate version, the Senate amendment, rather than to call for a conference committee. And so far, the Republicans have refused to do that.
All right. So the Senate version is extending the payroll tax cut for 2 months, and it also extends unemployment benefits, and then let's take it up next year. That's all that is.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. It does also authorize compel the president to make an earlier decision on the Keystone Pipeline than he would otherwise have to under federal law. So the Republicans gained a major concession from the Democrats on that count, even in the Senate version.
Oh, I didn't know that. So the Senate version also has that Keystone Pipeline issue.
That's right. So the Democrats are wondering, what are you guys complaining about? Another part of the story, though, Joy, oftentimes forgotten with all this focus on Speaker Boehner and the House Republicans, is the fact that the Senate Republicans essentially obstructed, filibustered the bill because they didn't like it either. There's no version that Senate Republicans and Democrats could agree upon. So the reason that the Senate came up with a two-month plan rather than a one-year plan is that there was no way to get 60 votes, as would be required if there's a filibuster, on any common version in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. So but the House version of this does force the president to make an earlier decision on the Keystone Pipeline, and what else?
Well, it has a number of other things in it, right. You mentioned the unemployment extension, which I think nearly everyone agrees ought to be done. There are some EPA regulations that would be prohibited from being implemented. There is the so-called doc fix, the reimbursement rate for health care providers, doctors and hospitals, would be reduced if this so-called doc fix was not reenacted. And that's an important part of this whole thing. And then there are some business-related provisions that have to do with the rate at which new equipment can be expensed for tax purposes. So those are kind of the major points of it. The other side of this ledger, though, are major differences between the two parties about how this ought to be paid for. The Republican House plan provided for cuts in the so-called Obamacare, the health care plan, provided for three additional years beyond 2012 of a freeze in federal employee pay, and actually provided an additional premium for people receiving Medicare who have incomes over $1 million. The Democrats don't like the freeze on federal pay being extended for three additional years. Obviously, it undermines the ability of the federal government to keep and attract employees. And the cuts in the health care plan are not acceptable to the Democrats either. So there are big differences on both the spending side and the tax side of this bill.
Yeah, and the Democrats did drop the pay for it by a surtax on millionaires?
Yeah, they have. I think the Democrats want, more of a surtax. They did agree to drop that. They've been giving that a lot of emphasis. That was the primary mechanism by which they would pay for this. Their view was that this should be a stimulus bill, and people in the working and lower class, lower income area should be given this tax break, and those at the very, very highest income level should pay for it. The Republicans disagree with that, and so have this very different plan for paying for it.
So, where do we stand now?
Well, the House Republicans would say that the ball is in the Democrats' court. They've asked for a conference committee. They point out that the House Democrats haven't been willing to name members to that committee, and the Senate, of course, hasn't been meeting at all to agree to a conference. So they want to argue that they've taken the next step. It's the natural next step, call for a conference committee. The Democrats say, no, the next step is negotiations. And if Speaker Boehner and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate, the Republican leadership, are serious about negotiating, then let's negotiate. We don't have to wait for a conference committee. Time is running out. The payroll tax cut extension has to be in place by the end of the month. Let's go directly to high-level negotiations at the leadership level and get this done.
Yeah, and yesterday, apparently, President Obama called Republican House Speaker John Boehner and asked him to pass the temporary extension and return to talks in the new year. I think he also told Harry Reid that that's what he wanted, but it's that this would be John Boehner deciding this, yes?
Well, that's right. Boehner, while he is Speaker of the House and has a lot of power, he is also the elected leader of the House Republicans. So it's very difficult for him to go too far out in front of where his most of his party is located. And we've seen a couple of times where he's indicated a compromised direction and then been pulled back by his party, which appears to be, on the balance, less compromising than he is. So he's in a very difficult bind. I think he has a good part of his party, and maybe approaching a majority, that would refuse to support the Senate version, even if it came to a direct vote. But what he feared was that the rest of the Republicans, at least a sufficient number of Republicans, would join with the Democrats to pass the Senate version, and that would be really quite embarrassing to him. So he's in a very difficult spot, trying to balance the political interests of his party, which is to get past this, to get this extension in place, at least the temporary extension, There are sincere policy beliefs on the part of many Republicans that this is not good policy.
Well, we'll talk more about that and talk about the politics at stake as well. after we take a short pause, and we'll welcome your reactions and questions to this stalemate on the payroll tax cut extension. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Stephen Smith, professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be cloudy with snow likely in southeastern Wisconsin. Some lake effect snow showers also possible in northwestern Wisconsin. A couple of inches are possible in both areas. Highs today will be in the low 20s in the north to the upper 30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 20 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 22nd. Tomorrow at this time, we will be talking with Grover Norquist. He is set for the first half of the hour to talk about his just-released Naughty or Nice list, which includes some of the politicians that we are talking about right now. And in the second half of the hour tomorrow, we will talk with the librarian at Yale University about his top quotes for 2011, the top quotes of the year. "We are the 99% is his top quote. Rick Perry's "Oops," when he forgot the third agency that he would abolish, is another. So we hope you join us tomorrow between 7 and 8 for those discussions. We are talking about the stalemate over the payroll tax cut during this hour with Stephen Smith, who is a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions and your reactions to this stalemate. And I do want, we have lots of calls, Professor Smith, but let's talk a little bit. You mentioned that the Democrats want to extend this payroll tax cut because they think it's important to have this money in our pockets. They think it's a stimulus of sorts. Why do some Republicans think it's not good public policy?
Well, the Republicans appear to be divided on the question. It does look like about half, maybe more than half, of congressional Republicans are against the payroll tax cut extension because they think that it will undermine the finances of Social Security. Of course, the payroll tax goes toward the Social Security trust funds, and so it is true that when you cut the tax, as it's been cut now for the past year, you do shortchange the trust funds and exacerbate the long-term Social Security financing problem. So they make that argument. Other Republicans, you may recall, in the early fall were beginning to observe that there were a large number of Americans who don't pay any federal taxes. So I think there are some Republicans who think that this is a way of expanding that number, who really aren't paying, in their view, their fair share. So this was a case where the House Republicans weren't sure that they wanted to pass any payroll tax extension, but many of them were persuaded that it was a good idea once these other issues were attached to it, the doc fix, some of the provisions related to how unemployment insurance is allocated, and other kinds of reforms that they said then justified the passage of the bill. Their problem is that the Senate got rid of most of those provisions, though leaving the Keystone Pipeline in there and leaving some of the reforms of unemployment insurance. So now they're struggling with a bill that has an extension and doesn't have many of those other things that help justify the passage, in their view, in the House initially.
I see. And we also heard Speaker Boehner say, we're not going to kick the can down the road. This needs to be, settled for the next year, not the next 2 months.
Well, we heard him say that. The fact is that many of the Republicans who are now making that argument, in all fairness, were not too keen on any extension mm-hmm. of the payroll tax cut. And now they're making the case that it doesn't make any sense to do it on a two-month basis, that they really want 1 year. In fact, the reason that the Senate Democrats agreed to just a two-month as opposed to a one-year extension, it was the only agreement they could get out of the Senate Republicans. we're here because the Senate Republicans were able to block a full one-year extension.
Let's take some calls. And Laverne in Monroe is kind of on this topic right now, or this specific subject. Laverne, go ahead.
Hello, Joy. Great program. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Laverne.
I understand the Republicans in the Senate really don't agree with the Republicans in the House, which is kind of seems a little different. And I understand this surtax you talk about, which I think is a great idea. They should tax the wealthy. And,
well,
and the polls show it, 75%.
Well, you know, a majority of Americans do agree with the proposition that as a part of an overall deficit reduction effort, that there should be a hike in taxes for the extremely wealthy. So I think the public is with the Democrats on that, and that's why they were pushing it. But it is, you know, it's also true that the Senate Republicans are not thrilled with the House Republicans, as you say. Mitch McConnell, I think, believes that he was signaled by Speaker Boehner late last week that the House Republicans would go along with anything he could negotiate. And what McConnell negotiated was a two-month extension, knowing that as the two-month deadline approached, he could renegotiate all these other subsidiary items that are still on the table. Mm-hmm. So it was simply, for McConnell, a way of getting through the holiday season, allowing this extension to go forward without the Republicans being blamed for stopping it, and getting back to the negotiating table in January and February.
Now, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was one of the 10 senators who voted against the two-month extension, by the way. Is it the Tea Party Republicans who don't like this as opposed to your, traditional Republican?
Yeah, the party is sometimes it's hard to make these distinctions because it's really difficult to separate Tea Party Republicans, mainly freshmen, new Republicans, from the others on policy. But these freshman Republicans, these younger Republicans, including Ron Johnson, differ with some of their more senior colleagues, largely on tactics. They think that, look, we shouldn't give up our leverage with the White House and the Democrats. We control the House of Representatives. Let's refuse to budge until they cave in to us. And there's a view in that camp that the Republicans are, that the Democrats have weak knees, that the Democrats will cave eventually. And if you just hold out, they'll eventually cave. Of course, the Democrats are well aware that that's, the view of them. The treatment of the debt limit increase in the middle of the summer was seen as having that kind of outcome. So the Democrats now are very sensitized to that and are thinking now is our time on a very popular issue, the extension of the payroll tax cut, that now is the time for us to hold out.
Another call from Jim in River Falls. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for having the program. You mentioned a little bit about that if the payroll tax cut is extended and the previous payroll tax cut that currently is in effect, it is taking money away from Social Security, and I guess I have concerns about that. I think it shows where the Republicans' priorities are when they won't allow the Bush tax cuts to expire for the extremely wealthy, and I think it would help the middle class out a bit. Now, I also believe that unemployment benefits are probably more important to the people that really need it than payroll tax cuts, but could you go a little bit more into my concern that I think it's kind of a backhanded way for people that don't like Social Security to maybe bankrupt it in the future?
Well, you mentioned a couple of issues there. One issue is unemployment compensation. The House Republicans' bill did extend unemployment compensation coverage, which is absolutely essential, of course, as almost everyone agrees, for millions of Americans. But they also included some reforms, what they call reforms, which, among other things, limit the total number of weeks of eligibility from 99, which is a fairly large number historically, down to, I think it was 59 in their bill. And they allow states some flexibility in who is eligible for, to determine who is eligible for unemployment compensation, among other things, creating the possibility that states might require a drug test as a condition for receiving unemployment compensation. The Democrats don't like all those reforms, and it's those reforms which the Republicans are pushing and trying to use the payroll tax cut extension as leverage with the Democrats to get them to accept and to get the White House to accept that kind of a reform. The Social Security issue is a difficult issue, and I think there are many Democrats who are uncomfortable with that. I am personally. The argument the Democrats make, though, is a credible one, and that is that the long-term survival of Social Security depends more on the success of our economy, and that this payroll tax is important to keeping the economy stimulated and recovery going, and that the sooner that we fully recover, the better off Social Security will be. Obviously, as people are making more money, people are back on the job, more people are paying those payroll taxes.
Yeah, and we only have 30 seconds before a news break. How much does this mean to my paycheck or the typical paycheck?
2%. It's the difference between a 6.2 and a 4.2 payroll tax.
We are talking with Stephen Smith, professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis, about the stalemate over the payroll tax cut extension. And we're wondering what you think about this, what questions you have. We'll continue talking with him after we check the latest news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, December the 22nd. We are talking about the standoff over extending the payroll tax cut. Yesterday, House Republicans stopped an attempt by Democrats to force a vote on a Senate bill that would extend the cut for 2 months. House Republicans want instead a conference committee to meet to work out the differences between the House version and the Senate version. President Obama has called on Republican House Speaker John Boehner to pass the short-term extension that is in the Senate bill and return to talks on a year-long deal sometime after the new year. We are talking this hour with a political scientist about this stalemate and what it means for politics and for our paychecks. And we will hear a little bit later in this half hour from Democratic U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin. She will be joining us at about 10 minutes to the hour to talk about her stand on this issue. We did invite members of Wisconsin's Republican delegation, congressional delegation, to also join us during this hour, but our invitations were declined. We are talking with Stephen Smith, professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. We wonder if you have any questions about this, or we wonder if you've taken a side on this issue. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you support or oppose extending this payroll tax cut? Or do you think that this two-month extension plan by the Senate is good enough for now? Or do you think the House Republicans have it right, wanting to have it extended for a full year with some add-ons? We welcome your questions and comments. Mike in Stoughton is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Thank you for this program. Thank you to your guests.
Well, thanks for calling. What do you think?
You know what? I'd like to just ask a question and then make a comment. I make sure I have my facts straight. Is it true that the national debt, just in the last 10 years, has gone from $5 trillion to $10 trillion, or to $15 trillion, added 10? And if so, if you know, we're talking about adding $100 billion with this in the next year. And it, you know, as speaking as a 50-year-old independent, it just makes me wonder, you know, at what point do we look around, and I'm just a middle-class guy, and look around at the rest of us and say, hey, we need to start pulling our weight here. We've, you know, we put so much money, not only on the national credit card, but on the state credit card, from what I understand. And it just makes me wonder, at what point do we stop and say, hey, you know, we're just going to have to buck up here and we're going to have to, you know, live within our means, or at least go in that direction, or start to think that we are in, are entitled to go in that direction, or obligated to go in that direction. I have three sons, and I feel bad when I look at them in the eyes, you know, and say, hey, I'm sorry about this mess. You know, we're leaving you.
Yeah,
that's
and Mike,
all I had.
Well,
I,
just but and that, thank you for the comment, Mike. But so you don't want this 2% payroll tax?
No,
cut.
I think we. I mean, I think it's a just a token gesture in the right direction. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and he thinks it's just going to add to our national debt. Professor Smith, is that right?
It certainly will add to the national debt if it's not paid for. And the Republican plan actually has the pay-fors in there, at least in principle. There's some argument that these are actually not actually going to cover it. But they provide for a freeze in federal pay that wouldn't otherwise occur for an additional 3 years. There's a current freeze that goes through 2012, and this pay freeze would be extended by 3 additional years under the Republican plan. There are cuts in health care in the Obama health care plan and in existing Medicare and Medicaid plans. And there are additional premiums being charged to the very rich for Medicare, and actually a ban on them taking advantage of food stamps and some other programs, which doesn't add up to much money. The Republicans in the House say that the bill is, in fact, paid for. So Mike's concern, I think, is a serious one, but the House Republicans would insist that their bill covers this. And, of course, the Senate has just a two-month extension. Their plan, too, is paid for, but the longer one-year plan is far more expensive, and there would be serious disagreements between Democrats and Republicans about how to pay for that.
Right. And both sides are proposing ways to pay for it, so then it would not add to the debt.
Well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And of course, they had very different plans. The Senate Democrats had proposed the surcharge on the super wealthy, the $1 million plus types. And that was their primary means for paying it for it. They had a few other things in there, too, but they dropped that as a part of their negotiations to get this two-month extension with their Senate Republican colleagues.
Yeah. And our Mike said this is just a token gesture. He doesn't want it. Most of us want it, though, don't we, or don't we?
Well, I think it is actually of substantial material difference to people in the middle and lower income brackets. You know, we're talking about a 2% tax savings that would be continued if this extension occurs. You know, that's 2% of your gross income. So this is a substantial sum of money. For the average person out there, it's $1,000 or something. Over the course of a year, and that's a substantial sum of money. We've had rebates that are far, far smaller than that that were considered to be important to the economy. So I think this is potentially important. There is a political side to this. The Democrats are suspicious that the Republicans don't want the economy further stimulated. They have the somewhat cynical view that the Republicans hold the cynical view that the that slow recovery is in the interest of the Republicans. Democrats, on the other hand, want to continue to see unemployment to come down. They would like to see consumer spending to trend up, and putting $1,000 in the pockets of most Americans would be an important move in that direction, they argue. There's an economic side to this and a political side that is really pretty nasty politics.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of which, political hay is likely to be made on this issue, especially if there is no agreement, because Democrats will say Republicans are going to allow your payroll tax to go up now, while they were protecting, the Bush tax cuts of the wealthy and the, this surtax on millionaires. So they're protecting rich people, but all of the rest of us are going to have our taxes go up.
Well, that is the reason that the Democrats think that negotiating with the Republicans is unnecessary, that the Republicans will eventually concede and agree to the two-month extension. Editorial opinion, even on the conservative side, is piling up against the Republicans. And then there are other parts of this bill which are considered to be really pretty important. The so-called doc fix would increase, or I should say decrease, federal reimbursements to healthcare providers by 27% in January if the doc fix is not reenacted here. And, of course, it's a part of this bill. Everyone seems to think it's absolutely essential, but if hospitals and especially doctors experience a 27% reduction in their reimbursements for providing services to Medicare patients, we might find more and more doctors dropping out of providing Medicare patients in any services, and this could be a pretty serious problem. So there's far more than just the payroll tax on the line here.
Mary on Facebook writes, "This is disgusting. I'm not even sure I agree with this particular tax cut, but I am absolutely disgusted with all this gamesmanship. Our legislators are so far removed from the realities of the working or non-working person that they simply don't care how this affects people. It is all about power and gaining control." A reaction to that.
Joy, you know, when we elected a Republican majority to the House of Representatives 2 years ago, we knew that the newly elected Republicans held views that were very, very different than the Democrat in the White House. We also kept a Democratic majority in the Senate. And we knew that the Democrats held fairly liberal views on all of these issues. So, you know, to some extent, it's what the public gave us. It's not just a problem with who's in office. It's a question of who we elected to office. And so I think Americans, when it comes to, you know, the 2012 elections, they need to examine their own views about these choices. We have elected, you know, very conservative Republicans and many very liberal Democrats, and we shouldn't be too surprised that when they end up controlling different parts of government that have to cooperate in order for anything to get done, that we should face this kind of stalemate.
Jean in Appleton is with us. Hello, Jean.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm confused about the terminology. We keep hearing about it being a middle class tax increase. But actually, all it is returning to what the tax, the Social Security tax, has always been. And so what we had was a tax decrease. And this is just returning to par. And so if you do continue with this lower Social Security tax out of everybody's paycheck, when it comes time to calculate their benefits, they're going to have lower Social Security checks. Not only that, it is decreasing the Social Security fund.
Yeah. Jean, thank you very much. What about this? This was a payroll tax cut holiday. It's not really an increase, is it, Professor Smith?
Well, that's right. A year ago, as a part of the end of Congress deal that President Obama made with the Republicans, there was the extension, the two-year extension of the Bush tax cuts. So we'll be facing that decision a year from now. And the extension of a number of the Obama-era tax cuts, including the payroll tax cut from 6.2 to 4.2%. Now that 6.2% rate's been in place for a long, long time. And so that was reduced to 4.2, as you say, called a tax holiday. And that's actually the official name of the bill, too. So the failure to act now would bump that tax back up to the 6.2 level at which it's been for a long time. So it's true that the long-term rate has been higher, and everyone expects that in due course, 2 months or a year, it would bump back up to that rate.
Yeah. You could also say the Bush tax cuts, if you didn't extend them, that was just going back to the old rates. It's not a tax increase.
Well, that's true. You can always say that about tax rates. At one time, we didn't have an income tax at all. So we don't want to go too far in that direction. What the baseline is always determined by where you stand on the issue, I guess. There's an important point here that if we extend the payroll tax cut for 1 year, it will be a part of the debate at the time the Bush tax cut extension comes up toward the end of 2012.
We are going to check weather and welcome in U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin of Madison to get her take on this issue, on this stalemate going on in Congress. We had the House rejecting the Senate's plan to temporarily extend the payroll tax cut through February. And we will ask her where this is going, and we will continue to ask you to weigh in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be mostly cloudy with snow likely in southeastern Wisconsin today. Some lake effect snow showers in the northwest as well. A couple of inches possible in both areas. Highs today, low 20s in the north to the upper 30s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 22nd. We welcome in now Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which covers parts of South Central and Southwestern Wisconsin. She voted in favor of the Senate version of this payroll tax cut. The Senate version would have extended the payroll tax cut for another 2 months. She joins us by telephone. Good morning. Oops, do I have the wrong button on? I do have the wrong button on. Good morning, Representative Baldwin.
Good morning.
So why did you vote to accept the Senate's version of this bill?
Well, first of all, I want to make a clarification. Unfortunately, when we returned to Washington earlier this week, Speaker Boehner refused to bring the Senate compromise, the bipartisan compromise, to the House floor. So I was deprived of the chance to vote in favor of it. We very much had expected that that would be the vote that we took when we returned to Washington after 89 senators of both parties joined together to extend the payroll tax cut for 2 months, as well as the unemployment insurance benefits and preventing these cuts in Medicare. But what happened is the Republican conference got together on Monday night and met for hours and hours, and when they emerged, it appeared that their Tea Party extremists had convinced Speaker Boehner not to bring the Senate package to the floor. My belief is that it would have passed handily with most Democrats voting for it, and certainly enough Republicans so that we would have a majority. But because they saw that, it appeared unfolding, they decided really to manufacture a crisis by not bringing it to the floor, by instead sending the House-passed version from several weeks ago to conference committee with what the bipartisan Senate package. Now, I know I'm getting right into process, but that was such a disappointment to all of us who simply thought we were heading back to Washington, we're going to get the job done at least for 2 months, and avert a sort of crisis. Instead, they manufactured one, and there's absolutely no reason for this. There's no reason right now that the American people should not be focused on other things other than will this payroll tax cut continue into 2012. And it has impact on every American family and significant impact on all Wisconsin families, this bill.
And I knew that. I don't know why I even said that. But so do you think that the payroll tax cut will be extended one way or another?
Well, I have to remain hopeful. And the reason I remain hopeful is because this measure and this collection of measures really does impact so many people. I don't know of a family who would not be touched by this measure. For the average working family in Wisconsin, the payroll tax cut next year will mean about $1,100 in their pockets versus versus not. For people who are long-term unemployed, this is really the difference between being able to pay bills or not, and you know it has very significant impact. And I think, especially as we're seeing in Wisconsin, that people need to speak out and let their elected representatives know. It's kind of the ending point of your conversation with the professor of, people do need to be heard, and at some point, our elected representatives have to listen to the people who sent them to Washington to do their business.
So is there going to be some sort of negotiation, Representative Baldwin, a conference committee? Will the House reconsider?
You know, I doubt there will be a formal conference committee because the Senate has made its position clear. How often recently have we seen things come out of the Senate on such a bipartisan basis, such a strong vote? But I do think that we've heard even as of yesterday that the president and is in touch with Speaker Boehner and there are conversations going on. I think Speaker Boehner needs to show some leadership, bring us back to Washington. We need to pass the overwhelmingly bipartisan Senate passed version.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. And by the way, a candidate for U.S. Senate. She is planning on seeking the seat that Herb Kohl is going to retire from in 2012. Well, Stephen Smith, a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, do you think Representative Baldwin is correct in her prediction that something will happen, that the House will indeed vote on this to extend the payroll tax cut for 2 months?
Well, Congresswoman Baldwin gives the necessary optimistic spin on this, I think. But I wouldn't do much more than flip a coin between a breakdown here and a failure to extend to pass a bill by the first of the year and passing the Senate version. I think those are the only viable options, and this all turns on the House Republicans, I think. I don't think that the Democrats will back down at this point, and I don't think serious negotiations over a long-term fix will be possible. So I think this is a case where the House Republicans may back down, but you're asking me to do a psychological analysis of the House Republicans, and I'm not capable of doing that. I'm not sure anyone is.
Well, here's this. If we don't get our payroll tax cut, are we going to throw all the bums out?
People will be very, very angry if this isn't resolved in some way. But let's assume that the 1st of January comes and no bill is passed. There's nothing that prevents the Congress in the first week or two of January from reconvening and finding a solution. So while it might create some uncertainty and a bit of chaos in payroll systems, reimbursement rates for healthcare providers for a very short time. Whatever they do, they can do retroactively so that there isn't much long-term damage. But doing it by the first, I think that's really very problematic at the moment.
Well, I hope you have a happy holidays and a happy new year. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Joy, to everyone in Wisconsin.
Stephen Smith, professor of political science, director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Thanks as well to Tammy Baldwin, U.S. representative from Madison, who joined us this hour. We did, by the way, extend invitations to a number of Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation, but our invitations were declined. So thanks to Bill Martins for producing and directing this hour. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.